The Old Testament reading for Ash Wednesday is from Joel, the second chapter. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And he relents over disaster. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, consecrate the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, even nursing infants. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep and say, spare your people, O Lord, and make not your heritage a reproach, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Then the Lord became jealous for his land and had pity on his people. The Lord answered and said to his people, behold, I am sending to you grain, wine, and oil, and you will be satisfied, and I will no more make you a reproach among the nations. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for in you my soul takes refuge.
You will stand from heaven and save me. You will put to shame him who tramples on me.
The continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. At that time Jesus said, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
What was revealed to us on Sunday remains true. If you do not see with the eyes of faith, you will not understand at all. You will only see contradiction. The prophet, Joel, calls for a fast that includes every type of ceremony, announced with a trumpet, gathered in public as a whole congregation together, and something that even impinges on our everyday life and comfort. Even the bride and the groom have to delay their wedding plans for this.
children and newcomers are sometimes quite confused why our churches would observe a day and even call it Ash Wednesday, but not include ashes somehow in that observation. I do think they have a point. But then we hear the words of Jesus. And he says, "Sound no trumpet. Do not stand in the synagogues and at the street corners. Do not disfigure your faces." The snarky person might boast of his Jesus-approved Ashless Wednesday. You have to pay attention, because if that is actually how our Lord's words were to be understood, then the whole season of Lent itself, as we observe, would be wrong too. There is no liturgical animosity between our texts, actually. Jesus and Joel don't have it out for each other. They're tied together in this phrase that is found in Joel, when he says, "Rend your hearts, not your garments." They are remembering what we heard on Sunday when the Lord chose David as his anointed king by Samuel. And Samuel said that the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks only on the outward appearances, but the Lord looks on the heart. There is a danger in outward ceremonies. The danger is that we would do them to be seen by other people. That we would, for all of Lent, instead of repenting, only shed crocodile tears and be actors as in a play. Repentance cannot be worked up in ourselves, even though all of the emotions, all of the activities, and yeah, even the ceremoniousness that usually attends repentance certainly can be faked. Self-righteousness is the old Adam at work in us, the sinful flesh hanging around our necks, even original sin rearing up its ugly head within us again. And that sin can seize any ceremony. It can even seize the lack of a ceremony as an opportunity to cloak itself in the dress of piety. The Pharisees and the hypocrites in Jesus' day practiced their righteousness before other people in order to be seen and praised by them. They were grand in their ceremony, but they were superficial. The people of Joel's time, though, had no ceremony. That was because they had no fasting and no prayer and no charity in secret either. They were impenitent. And thus, we find at the beginning of Joel, the Lord had dispatched locusts, a plague, to wipe out their land, to devour up all of the wealth that had made them fat and complacent and lazy and proud of it. Moths and locusts will always destroy the things of this world. They wear out. Wealth and the time and the merrymaking that we love so much will be eaten up. Especially will be gobbled up our pride, which is the root of every sin and idolatry. We worship our money because we love our own comforts. We worship our time because we love to use it to talk to ourselves about ourselves. And we become slaves to food and to drink and to substance, because we are curved in on ourselves. We are spiritual navel gazers. and in the false worship of the heart we are very rarely unceremonious. Because if I don't draw attention to myself, what if no one notices me? Repent. Return. Remember, O man, that you are dust, and to dust you will return. That is why we Christians have ceremonies, so that we remember. That is why the church of all ages, in Joel's time, in Christ's time, all through the Middle Ages and today, consecrates fasts, gathers solemn assemblies, holds public observances. We do it so that we would remember. And if you're resistant to them, consider whether that is because you don't actually want to be reminded. What does it mean that people would be marked with ashes put on their forehead? It means that we are mourning and we are remembering that just as moth and rust reduce every idol to dust, so my own sin is even now undoing me. Adam, the first man, his name Adam means ground. He has that name because he was formed by God's own hand from that ground, from the dust of the earth, and held together by the breath of life from God himself. But departing from that word back into himself, Adam was departing from that life. He was becoming disintegrated, which is exactly the expression that God used when the curse was first pronounced, which was spoken again to us tonight, that dust we are, and to dust we tend to return. That is why Christians, including Lutherans, would receive ashes on a day like this. Is there any more vivid image than a smudge of destruction placed on the forehead of a grandmother or of a healthy father or of a newborn infant? That is truly a heart-rending sight. It is so. Thanks be to God. Because then that ceremony is serving the very good purpose for which it was intended. There's no glitter sparkly enough to distract from the reality that the wages of sin is death. This is not a thought that should be remembered briefly, drive-through style, on the way to work with a latte in hand. Death is a corporate matter. All of us, each of us, but also all of us together are dying in Adam. We are mortal men and women. And that is why the church may and does practice corporate observances like Ash Wednesday and Lent and Easter and all of our feasts. What Christ forbids in today's gospel is individualistic observances, things that are done for the sake of distinguishing myself from others, to hold myself up above the rest of the corporate congregation. But anyone who would put on the ashes of Ash Wednesday is numbering themselves not by themselves, but in the good company of the rest of the congregation, numbering themselves among the mortal, among the dying, which is inextricably linked to being a sinner. our bodies, our stuff, and our desires are all subject to moth and rust and decay and death. Will you not mourn this, O Christian? If not, then you have become so nearsighted that you are blind. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Yet, even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. Remember, O man, that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. And remembering this, return to the one who has entered into your dust to redeem it, the one who has come to restore what was disintegrated by making peace between God and sinful man in his own flesh. Jesus Christ, by his suffering and death, has turned back the impending wrath and disaster against sin. He is the Father's abounding and steadfast love in flesh and given for you. He is the one in whom every contradiction finds its resolution, in whom sin is atoned, in whom the debt is paid, in whom God's own demand is answered and satisfied, and in whom wrath meets mercy, and in whom death yields life. The ashes that Christians may receive on Ash Wednesday are not just a smudge. To the eyes of faith, they form, in fact, a cross. And they remind and they call to memory not only death, but they call to mind the reality that every sin with its judgment and condemnation, every suffering, every sad tale of mortality has been placed somewhere else. Not on your forehead again, but in the flesh of Jesus, God's Son, nailed to the cross, laid in a tomb, and taken away. And his death did not leave him corrupted in the dust. But his death undid that old rule from the garden, that dust you are, therefore to dust you shall return. Now this saying must meet its contradiction, that the righteous by faith shall live. And the dead who die in Christ Jesus live. They will be raised. He has granted us his precious and very great promises so that through them we may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in this world because of sinful desire. What then of our Lenten discipline, O Christians? If we are marked, whether that be physically or only mentally, marked as those whom moth and rust destroy, then that means that we are those who are going to resist every attempt of this world to enslave us again. We take up now spiritual warfare with renewed strength again. This world with its treasures is subject to corruption in everything, even its good things. So we turn our hearts away from it and toward the cross of death, which has in fact brought us eternal incorruption. We press our wealth into the service of our neighbor. We press our gaze away from the rumbling bellies that we all have, and instead toward the Word of God that truly satisfies. And we press our time and our pride into the dust to die. And then we cry out from the depths to the Lord, from whom mercy comes. Far from giving something up for Lent, which it would just be another attempt at self-improvement, we Christians add something. We return to the Lord with fasting, with almsgiving, with prayer, and we do it most of all by hearing His word and by receiving His supper with increased devotion. And these are by no means empty ceremonies. They are the very source of faith and the weapons to fight against the corruption of sinful desires, that is, even to fight against our own pride. Make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, virtue with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with steadfastness, steadfastness with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. Return to the Lord your God with all your heart, for with Him there is steadfast love and plenteous redemption. And these are the treasures that moth and rust and death can never take away. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.